And here we go. Welcome to SharePoint Dev Weekly, episode 61. And this is SharePoint Dev Weekly, where we go through what has happened within the past week and what's happening in the upcoming week as well. My name is Esa Juvonen. I'm a principal program manager for Microsoft. And together with me here in this call is Waldeck. Let's start with you.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Waldeck Mostegas. I am head of product at Rancor. And today we have a guest. Bert.
Yes, we do.
I'm Bert. I'm a senior service engineer inside Microsoft.
You do seem familiar, yes.
Yes. Must be that my Dutch accent.
Yeah, that might be the case. Can you do a quick introduction, actually, Bert, who you are for those who do not necessarily know who you are? Because you're not actually super, super active on social media on that side.
I try to hide very much, but sometimes I'm less well hidden. I'm inside Microsoft inside service engineering, more particularly in the team called customer engineering. So our team is focused on helping customers in various ways, typically for the large, big enterprise customers, helping them with issues. So now and then something goes wrong, some customers have questions, etc. So no, we have folks
come on.
Kind of focused on that area. Another aspect is driving adoption, and adoption means also handling deprecation, doing modernization, for example. So the whole modernization journey that we started like about 1.5 years ago by creating tools and guidance for customers to modernize their existing SharePoint environments, yep. That kind of came from demands from our large customers like, hey, Microsoft, you're shipping all these great new features, super, but you're not telling me how to get there, essentially. Yep. You're not making me... I want to get there. How do I get there in an easy way? How do I understand what I need to do? And that's where this whole monetization journey kind of started from. But now I think since everything is open source, available for everyone, anyone can benefit from it. And anyone should be looking into it as well.
And there's a lot of partners who are offering nowadays also modernization as part of their offerings based on this open source. Very cool as well. Cool. Your second time as a visitor in here. So we talked about the fact that it's modernization tooling which you've been working. But to be fair, you worked also on the modern Pages API as an example. You created the original Pages API, the modern Pages APIs for CSAM, and then based on that, PMP.js and a few others adapted the implementation as well. On the modernization side, so what's new? What's happening on the modernization? Why should people care?
why should people care? Meaning, I think that answer is pretty obvious because the old things stay old, meaning they're not changing automatically. They're staying old. Microsoft is moving full steam ahead in driving modern UIs, modern SharePoint usage. We ship features that only work for modern. So if you're not on modern, you're simply missing the boat, right?
Yeah.
We're not kind of backporting features, new things into classic UIs and classic SharePoint. So it's your choice. You can stay there. It's still there. It's supported. We're not taking it away. But everyone else is moving in the other direction. So that's, I think, the main reason for you to start looking into modernization if you're not doing it yet. And we have really great tools and guidance to help you modernizing almost everything, ranging from team sites, blogs, publishing portals, everything can be modernized, even if it's in on-prem. So not just about things inside SharePoint Online. Like if today you have classic sites in SharePoint on-premises, you have different ways to get those sites available as modern in SharePoint Online.
Yep.
You don't necessarily have to copy it as a classic site and then go for the classic site in SharePoint Online, which you can do, but why not when you do this transition from on-prem to online, also take the opportunity to modernize the site as well. So because it's anyway like a change for your disruptive change for your end users, because they go from one platform to another platform. I would just at that point take the advantage, take the time that you have and give them like a fully ready modern site, which is ready for the coming 5-10 years.
And if you look at the experience that you have, like what would you say the biggest bottleneck for companies to modernize?
What's causing them not to modernize?
Not to modernize a number of things. I think, first of all, is the unknown part. They don't know really what needs to be modernized, first of all, how much work it will be, the complexity of things. And so, and for that, we have the modernization scanner that will help them kind of quantify that ask, like, how many sites do we have? How many sites are ready to modernize? What are potential issues, etc.? So Scanner will give you a ton of data to kind of make the problem quantified, and you know what to do.
Yeah.
Then right. The second part is the tooling part. So we have great ISVs that help you kind of move content over. But today the tools that can help you actually do the monetization step, we have open source tools in PnP, but besides that, there's not much available at this point in time. So that might be sometimes a hurdle for some people. People are not always well aware of what we have, what's available in the community. Because we all, in a developer community, we know that we have page transformation tech, for example, that can read any classic page and give you a nice modern page. But not everyone does yet understand that. And I think that's another hurdle. We need to be more vocal about that and reach out probably also to other target audiences.
Yeah.
Because this type of monetization projects are not typically driven by developers. Mm-hmm. Initially, it's more IT pro type of projects. Now, developers come into play because that's one of the third elements. It's like, okay, why are people not moving? Hey, I customized my classic SharePoint site so much because SharePoint is so flexible and I love to code and I did everything great. It's fully tailored for me. But wait, if you go to modern, these things don't work anymore.
Right.
So what do we need to do? SharePoint framework definitely offers a path forward for 95% of the things that people need or more.
Yeah.
But still, people need to understand that, first of all, that things were customized, that and what's the way forward and how to go from A to B.
Yeah. And obviously not forgetting about the fact that understanding what's the modern and getting actually interested on that. But I think that's getting more and more known, which is good. And based on Ignite announcements and everything else, I think we're getting a nice parity between and even more on the modern side of the features rather than having, because in the past we said always that, well, I can't go to the modern because modern is missing A, B, and C. I think we're getting to the point where there isn't actually stuff missing. It's rather, if you don't go to modern, you're missing out because there's actually new features available in the modern which are not in classic.
Well, I think that there is also two ways to look at it, right? Like if you would look at it the way you compare, I used to do this in classic, how do I do this in modern? Or you can say, no. They don't think about how you do things, think about what you need in the end. And then you will find a modern way of doing it as opposed to copy the same approach.
That's a super important point in general, like with any monetization, with any transformation type of project. Like always look, what do you still need for going forward? What's relevant for you in the future? And also, why would you bother modernizing sites which like were created like 15 years ago? No one is using them. No one's looking at them.
Or why
if they're not looking at them. Yeah. If they haven't looked at them for 15 years, they probably won't look at them in the coming 5 years as well. Right, but just skip those, leave them behind, whatever. Focus on what's relevant. And that makes your project smaller and more valuable for your organization.
Which means that the analyzing phase is the most important one, right?
Insights, because yes. You need to understand what you have, absolutely.
Insights, yes.
Because and this is almost like the relation. Well, it's almost like the similar kind of discussion when we move from a farm solutions to the adding model or in the cloud related things. The number one learning from that process, and me and Bert actually executed quite a few.
So old, actually. I was just thinking. That was a really long time ago.
That's true. We used to have a program where we actually worked both fast. That was before I even moved to engineering. So, actually, it was in between when I moved from being a consultant to an engineering. But anyway, so we work with the largest customers in the world. I can't name any names, but largest customers in the world, largest enterprises in the Microsoft platform. And we helped them to get rid of the farm solutions to the adding model. And that was because they were in Office 365 dedicated, which used to support farm solutions, but then no longer, and we needed to actually help them to do the transition.
Yep.
And a number one learning from that thing was actually the preparation and analysis phases are by far the most important one. And you need to understand where you're heading, what's possible there, what's possible out of the box, and B, why are we doing this? Why does this functionality is existing? What are we trying to achieve with this? What is the added value out of it? Is somebody using this? Because there were so many projects and so many customers who had already, we have an estimate from this partner and all of that, and they have a list of things comparing what they had in the farm solutions. But nobody has actually thought about it. Are they actually being used or not?
Never translate. Never just translate things directly. Really think about it and not just kind of copy stuff.
Yep. Which takes time, but then again, you save money.
You save money and time in the end.
Exactly. Yeah, and the same applies for modernization, absolutely. So what do we have? Are they being used? Which of these we want to modernize? And then using the right tooling, which is available, definitely. But now, Bert, before we go to the articles, we have quite a few articles as well, but on the modernization side of house, so what's the future like? So what are we aiming to do here to make the modernization tooling more approachable? Because still a lot of people are kind of calling out and saying, well, it's an open source and I don't know, it's code. I don't know how to run code or even PowerShell. There's a PowerShell module.
So today, indeed, the scanner is like an EXE that you have to download, though it's Microsoft signed, but people nowadays don't like to download EXEs or run EXEs from the internet. It's a very good reflex of folks to not wanting to do that. But for now, the scanner is like that. So that's sometimes troublesome, especially for smaller type of customers. Also, the actual page transformation is fully embedded in PHP PowerShell or on .NET, but you have to be tech savvy to use it. So. Yeah. To kind of lower that barrier that and make it easier for folks to consume this, we started a new project, internal project. It's not yet available, but the idea is to have a PNP service platform, a PNP service fabric that you might call it like that, where we offer a set of APIs that you as a end user, as a user, can call. Now, still technical APIs.
That sounds really technical.
Wait.
Let's assume
you can call an API that triggers a modernization scan for your tenant. At that point, you call the API, something runs on Microsoft site in Azure, there's the scan for you, and delivers the repos inside an Azure Blob storage that you provided for us, for example. Or we give you a new URL to Azure Blob storage where you can pull the repos afterwards. So it's just an async call, and then we run things, we get the data for you. If you then build like a nice UI on top of that, then you get them to the next step, which is something which is really user-friendly. Like I can go to a site, like the provisioning portal like we have today, you authenticate, depending on what you want to do, you will be prompted to for the right permissions. But if you consent to us to be able to run the scan in this case, then we can run a scan and we can deliver the data to you. And you have like you just go to a site and you request something, and then the data will be ready for you X hours later, depending on the size of your scan, for example. Yeah. But the same model, then we're building this in a really generic model that it's not just about running a scan. It's about running a PNP task that can be a scan, that can be applying page transformation, that could be applying a PNP template or requesting a PNP template from an existing site. So just kind of, think about it as kind of taking some of the PNP.
A PNP graph.
Let's keep it simple for now.
It's a service factory.
What you do today in PowerShell or CLI or .NET or EXE, now you have a way to just run that same logic via an API, and then we run it in the right place. So we're building
with the latest version.
Ideally close to your tenant. So if you kick up something and you're on US, or run it in the US and not in Europe, for example. So that's what we have, what we're working on. A lot of work to do for that one, but it's really promising. I think it's a next step in our PNP community where we really offer world services.
Yep. And then including an SLA and all of that.
Certain level of SLA and support, that's definitely in the plans as well. It's just a matter of figuring out the various practicalities and making things happen. Now, if you think about this, the key objective of the service factory is the fact that you as a developer or as an IT pro running the PowerShell, you don't have to worry about installing the latest version of the code or the PowerShell, because actually the code isn't running in your site. The code is running actually in the cloud.
So you could perhaps say that it's more about the result as the way you get there, right?
Yeah.
It's about simplifying or helping people to make it as easy as possible to get the results, to guess what they really run scripts for, and not really have them go through all the hoops, as you said, with installing prerequisites, installing the right version of .NET dependencies and all of that, only to run a script that they need, let's say, once.
Yep. And from the Microsoft side also benefits because we can now ensure that people run the latest bits.
Yes.
We have some basic telemetry for the open source components, and we'll see that, well, there's people that upgrade to latest components, but there's also a lot of people that run really old stuff, and which is fine. If it works, it works, but there might be bug fixes that we do, et cetera. So then you miss out on these things if you don't upgrade to latest components. With this, you always run the latest. And it definitely lowers the barrier for customers which are not IT savvy, especially if there's a UI.
Yeah, and then especially when you talk about like going to modern, well, that's evolving really fast. So it's really key that you use the latest version because it has, as you said, improvement, but also probably new guidance, new checks, because things have changed, right? And if you stay behind, well, then you miss out on these latest advice.
Yep,
absolutely.
So that's one of the big things you're working on. So.
Absolutely.
Besides that, I think there's just some basic monetization updates coming along the way, but. New features, like we had a recent account mapping feature. So when you transform from on-prem to online, we try to map accounts. I think I'm looking at the issue list, which is also like a work item list, and things are getting kind of more or less close. There is not so much work anymore to get to a state where I'm saying, like, what else can I do? So taxonomy mapping is one of the things that is still on the list. If you have taxonomy, use taxonomy on-prem and online, how to kind of connect the dots. But besides that, I think all the big rocks are done and it's like feature complete. We can now start thinking about building UIs on top of it, making it easier, whatever. But the actual core transformation logic engine, meaning,
Well, until there is something new, right? Again.
Sure. And I think Bert, like 3 or 4 years ago, we set the same thing for the provisioning engine.
Yeah, so. I know you said this many times already and people keep on coming up.
Well, but I guess that is different, right? Because if you think about that, like the same building blocks to which you modernize, are they being reshaped to new elements like a home site? Like that is a new thing where when you modernize, I don't know if that would be something that you need to take into account, but when you provision, definitely, because you need to be able to create that new thing. And it's still based on a modern site, it's modern pages, but it's a home site, it's a new entity of itself, right? So there is a disparity there between the building blocks to which you modernize versus the things that you create in the end.
Absolutely.
On that bombshell, the articles.
On that bombshell, let's actually move into some of the articles. We have actually quite a lot of stuff to go through, so we're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time to actually on individual articles. But
we keep saying that every time, I believe.
Yes, I do. But there's so much stuff happening.
I'm okay with that.
No.
So SHAPE on Saturdays next weekend. There's a SHAPE on Saturday Munich, which is having actually Dan Holm and Omar Sahin as a keynoting. So that's going to be an interesting thing. Dan is from the marketing director for OneDrive, SharePoint, Yammer, and Stream, and Omar is the OneDrive SharePoint PM lead. So and reports to Jeff Tepper. So quite nice setup for the keynotes in Munich. And there's a lot of other speakers here as well, familiar faces and MVPs all around the world. So it's good to see Munich coming back. It was there for a few times, and then there was a few years break, and now it's actually getting back on the list of things. And then we have SHAPE on Saturday Bangalore coming up this weekend as well. And a nice set of sessions and speakers here as well. So happening at the Bangalore area. So familiar MVPs, familiar faces who've been actively contributing in the community side as well. So good to see a lot of MVPs here as well. So really, really great. And I think Tracy was doing a keynote there as well. There was actually two keynotes, unless I'm completely mistaken. So Microsoft opens up, and then Tracy is doing the keynote in Bangalore. So pretty cool. And Tracy is an awesome speaker, so I would be interested in actually sitting on the room for that one. Now, then a European SharePoint conference, 6 days. It's coming in 1 week. That's obviously going to be quite huge conference next week, and there's plenty of speakers this year. So there's a lot of people from Microsoft, a lot of MVPs, a lot of familiar faces as speakers. There's multiple tracks, multiple keynotes, and all of that stuff. And it's no longer just SharePoint, definitely. I think the full name is something really, really what was it? European SharePoint Office 365 and Azure Conference. So it's combining all of the cloud technologies.
Basically, the Microsoft Cloud and on-prem.
Yes. But there's Scott Hanselman is having a keynote there as well. So a lot of stuff happening over there. On our side of the site, we talked about this one, Bert, already. This one was the new thing related on the modernization. You want to talk about?
Quickly. Modernization guidance keeps on growing. One of the new additions, which you pushed out last week, I didn't really promote it yet, so it's the first time I promoted it, is modernization partner guidance. So what this is essentially new scripts to modernize sites, modernize team sites. But now they do like a bulk modernization, so you can specify a list of sites and all these sites will be modernized. It includes also a Teamify of creating a Teams team for your site as part of it. So there's a new PowerShell commandlet for that that will be pushed out this week, Friday. But next to the techie part, meaning the scripts, there's also like a delivery guide and a customer kind of sales guide where you as a partner can use those decks to essentially pitch the modernization offering with potential customers. Yep. But then also the delivery guide really walks you step by step, like what does it mean? And that's actually useful for everyone. Like how do you do a scan? How do you interpret the scan results? Okay, how do you can then start building up a list of sites to be modernized? How do you do, how you run the actual scripts, et cetera? Everything is really detailed in this deck. This brand new deck that I created. I will check it out, give feedback. It's open source. Feel free to change it as well.
Very nice.
Cool. Really, really good. And again, in here, calling out the assessment, and the modernization scanner is definitely the best tool for that one. So really, really great stuff in here. So good. On other articles, we did announce this one related on SharePoint in the SharePoint blog. Well, related on Graph as well. So there are changes on the SharePoint following capability and the social area. I think these are partly related on some upcoming future changes as well. But it's good to be aware that the followed code is not actually returning results. So there's a change on the Graph side of that. This one is actually from 16th of November. We didn't go to Stru last time.
I don't think so.
But I think it might be that Andrew actually pushed it out in social media slightly later, and that's why we didn't go down. So AC actually wrote, Andrew Connells wrote a nice summary on the Office 365, Microsoft 365, and SharePoint framework status based on an Ignite. So what was basically the new slides, the new content, the new announcements. We did release a few videos related on 1.10 announcements and features, and also the Fluid integration last week as well. So where we demo actually a lot of this live as well. And that's pretty nice and let's say a summary. And then he always provides his own thoughts on the functionality as well. So yeah, subjective is something useful or not, but it's good to have input around that as well. Now, Chris O'Brien released on 17th of November my 2019 announcement slides. This is a selected summary, so this is not all of the announcements and all of the roadmap slides related on Teams and everything else. There was a lot of stuff getting announced in Ignite, but good list of things and the most important announcements here as well. So Fluid Framework as an example, Home Sites, Project Cortex is getting a lot of attention as well, and Azure announcements as well. So really, really cool stuff. So good summary on things to really fastly catch up on, hey, so what was actually talked about in Ignite? We talked about that a few times already, but still. This one, Shao Mendes actually contributed last week. Really, 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 really awesome React My Task web part. So for the community, and this is an awesome implementation. It's using Office UI Fabric components, Microsoft Graph API, and PMP.js for the data access. Why wouldn't you? Of course, you use that. But it is really polished experience. He's been working on this one for quite a long time, and making sure that it's actually exposing the planner tasks in a nice way. What's really cool is that you can actually add tasks as well. So you can actually operate in the context of SharePoint or actually in the context of Teams, and you get access on all of the tasks or in the context because the same web part could be a Teams tab as well. So
nice.
Well detailed, really nice.
Yep, it is absolutely beautiful, beautiful stuff. Plenty of pictures as well. So thank you, thank you for that one, because the pictures are super valuable for understanding the value of the sample as well.
So how are you? If you look at something you want to use, if it has nice pictures, you're more likely to look further versus if there's no pictures.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Just about finalizing the code. It's also about explaining what's the value with pictures and
the marketing part.
Yes.
Marketing manager.
Now, this one is from a land and around the Delft blocks. So there was a just everybody needs to be aware of this stuff. Message enter information earlier this week. So last week, there was an announcement related on Delft blocks being retired. And it's pretty important to understand that it's getting retired. So and there was a timelines where it actually let me zoom in.
April,
beginning of December 28th, December 18th, Tenant will no longer be the ability of creating new blocks, and then completely removing by April 17th. So important to be aware of these timelines, because it might mean changes in your company and or your designs on what's happening. At the same time, obviously, there's quite a lot of a few tombstones here, site mailboxes, access services, InfoPath, Sky for Business, and all of that. This is kind of a natural evolution of the services as well, because we can't keep on evolving or maintaining the older things, because it's resourcing cost as well. So,
yeah, those InfoPaths already crawled out of the grave a few times again. So it's like
they're calling an InfoPath a zombie.
That's really hard. Your InfoPath.
I'm not dead.
I'm not dead yet.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, let's not go into too much detail on this. Good functionalities, they had their use time, and then they had their usage, but hey, time moves on. From Susan Hanley, and this is a good thing to notice, it is currently being rolled out during this week. I think we're in 50 to 100% pretty soon. So the PowerShell to make SharePoint home sites in a tenant level is enrolling. So some of the tenants already have it, some of the tenants will get it slightly later or within the upcoming days. But basically there's a set SPO home site, PowerShell commandlet, and that's it. And then basically that will set one site as the home site, and then you can easily access that from your mobile. So there's always the home functionality, and you'll get to that site. So it's the landing page of your company, basically. So finally getting that functionality as well. Obviously, it could be the root site of your tenant, or it could be something else. It doesn't really matter. It's up to you which site you want to use that. This one, I'll say a huge recap on the Office 365 CDN rules from David, and really around the fact that, first of all, please use CDN. CDN helps to improve the performance of your tenant, and the end user will be happy. And you can easily, for example, add additional origin URLs. So this one, basically, David explaining the process of adding a new CDN library for every single site, potentially, where you can then store information. To be fair, in all of the site collections and sites, we actually have the style library as well already. So be automatically enabled as a CDN endpoint if you enable the public CDN. What's important to realize, people always like, what do I mean with public CDN? Then all of my data is being exposed in the public. And the answer is no. It's only for images and assets. It's not like you are exposing your actual data using the public CDN endpoint.
Well, you could, whether that's wise to do or not, that's a different thing. But in theory, like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. You could add extension to your docx PDF, but like, why would you?
Yeah, sure. Yes, you could actually.
But why?
It's not meant for this.
Okay. Fair point. Yes, but by default, none of your data is getting compromised or exposed outside. So, which is an important thing to understand. And it is a really easy thing to improve the performance, like a snap of a finger. So it's really good. Now, the next one is from Frederico. This kind of a cool, really cool web part using the BMP controls and all of that stuff. I'm going to scroll down in a second how it's actually implemented, because there's a small itchy-bitchy thing here as well. But basically, having an entry point or clarification, what are the sections with the web part as well? So having a web part on a page, and then you're able to basically pinpoint or start a learning exercise. And, so now I get it. And you're able to set the content for those sections as well. So let me zoom in here. And this is collection data panel, collection data control. And this basically dynamically using BMP.js and to detect individual web parts and then get a description for it and then the positioning as well. Now, one of the downsides here, just to pinpoint and notice, is that if there will be DOM structure, page structure changes, then potentially these things might actually get broken. But again, now it's using the BMP.js to actually get access on the structure, so it is debatable. So
yeah. Showing section and column.
If you would be adding this to, for example, the header and footer and whatever, those elements which are not actually inside of the page, they're chrome of the page, then the DOM changes and page changes would have a much more significant impact. John Travolta is lost. Good. And this is from Ram Dayagar. So SharePoint Online Client Browser, the new version is out. And there's unfortunately no blog, no release. It's kind of a blog post related on this one. But it is one of really, really, really great tools, open source tool, to get access on understanding what's available, what's the structure of your tenant and who has created what.
I use it quite often actually during my development, especially when I do monetization projects, is to understand what's there. Really. Really handy tool for that.
Really powerful. And he updated basically with the latest season version, so which reminded me that I need to get the November version out pretty soon. This is from Jarpas Horst. Adding dynamic references to default components of a Office 365 group using SharePoint Site Designs. Sounds like a mouthful. What does it actually mean? Let me scroll down. So basically using Site Designs so that you'll have the default links to the Office 365 group associated team sites behind of the scenes. So because when you create a group associated team site, there will be a tasks and planner and calendar and team behind of the scenes as well. So adding those links automatically to the left navigation, that actually, by the way, makes a lot of sense. So
we, for some of the box processes, we do it. Like if you would today modernize a site collection, you would get at least a link to the teams, for example, if you team it automatically. But yeah, if you have existing sites or if you have planner, like, then definitely makes sense to do this. Yes.
And also you could add the site design to be the default site design of a tenant. So every single time there's a group associated teams are created, this would be automatically applied. So it's not even based on the user selection, which is an important thing to realize. Now, SharePoint Lookbook. This is a nice long blog post from Tommy related on something which we need to take into account in SharePoint Lookbooks. Right now, the SharePoint Lookbook only supports English tenants, unfortunately, because the site templates themselves are actually using the shared documents in the URL. And this is kind of a classic challenge is related on SharePoint structures, where we name the URLs or we're sold the list based on a title, and then that's being a language specific. So Tommy is basically here explaining how we could be able to start supporting other languages as well. And we're definitely looking into making that happen within the Lookbook side as well, and in the which requires then template level changes. And there's a ongoing discussions related on do we support multilingual on templates? Answer is actually yes, we do, in certain level. It's not fully baked.
We still have to build it still. Like with the PNP template model does support multilingual pages.
Yeah.
We announced multilingual page feature. So once we have that fully baked in the PNP, we can also ship multilingual templates in the provisioning service. But again, step by step.
One step at a time, heading to the right direction. We absolutely understand that we need to provide all of this to non-English tenants as well. So.
And also the most important part, we accept PRs.
We do accept PRs. It's true. That is true. Now, this one is from Elio, why it's important to keep the version in sync when using library components in SharePoint framework. And this basically is visible in here. It is not found for the version 1.5.1. So the web part is using SharePoint Framework 1.5.1. So it is actually assuming then that the library component is at the same version. And that is a given that is by design right now as a implementation style for library components. So you need to make sure that your packages are in the same SharePoint Framework version. which kind of it's something to be aware, not a massive deal, but good to be aware. So this one is from Sergey Sergeyev. So, and by the way, Sergey, if you're watching this before I'm reaching out to you, most likely I'm going to reach out to you before, and we'd love to have this demoed in the community call as well. But this is really, really cool. So show the progress of PMP provisioning process with SharePoint application customizer and SignalR. What does it mean? Quite a hectic drawing here, but basically as part of the provisioning, when we start actually provisioning and doing the creation of sites, adding lists, and all of that stuff, we actually start pushing notifications to the UI so that the end users will know that, oh, stuff is actually progressing. So we're able to notify whatever means you want, that the progress is being done. So really cool.
Nice.
And a long blog post, but this is worthwhile. Definitely is really, really cool stuff. And there's a video from him as well. So really cool stuff. Now, this is from Alex. So getting related Teams information for private channel in the SharePoint Framework Microsoft Teams app. So basically getting access on the information, private channel information. Private channel was announced in Ignite a few weeks back, and Alex was investigating how to get access on that related information. So really cool stuff. And just the final piece in here, just a reminder for BMP SP usage docs. So this is progressing quite nicely as well. It's not just about dev stuff. So this one is the non-dev stuff as well. We decided to name it as SP usage docs. Maybe we should name it something else. I don't know. But basically, there's an existing amount of already articles which are getting new versions and updates all the time related on information architecture. What is a site column? What is a content type? Important concepts to understand. And quite often, actually, as a developers, people don't necessarily know what is a content type. What does it actually mean? But you should, definitely, if you're taking advantage of the concept. But the whole point being on the fact that this is more non-development oriented functionalities or documentation, conceptual documentation on making decisions and understanding how SharePoint actually works. Good. That's it for the articles. A lot of articles this time. A lot of stuff going through. So what's happening this week? What are you guys doing this week? I know what I'm going to do this week.
I as well. Prepping ESPC. Demo slides. Be fully ready for next week.
Yeah. That's one thing, and then I'm working on the SharePoint Framework 1.10 documentation. So we need to make sure that documentation is ready to go whenever the 1.10 is ready to go. No ETA at this point. I can't disclose any plans because I don't want to promise a date, but we'll see.
It will be available on a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, but on a Wednesday.
Aha. Okay. That is the right question.
To be fair, this week is also the Thanksgiving week in the US. That means that Thursday and Friday will be... Yes, exactly. I will have a free Thursday evening. That's just amazing.
So, what are you going to do with all the time?
Exactly. That's just amazing.
Well, so I just heard that Bert has a spot available for service for the APIs, for PMP Graph. So you could probably help with that.
What? This thing is about time that Fester starts doing some coding again here.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, a little bit frustrated. After all this time, do you want him to code? Or like,
let's start with something really easy like graph.
Yeah, I'm actually looking into, that's one of the things why I'm looking into always doing the version documentation or being part of the people who are writing the version documentation for SharePoint Framework, is that because then as part of that, you're doing testing, validation and all of that stuff. So having the opportunity to write some code, which is important, and I miss that. But I think that's it for this one. So thank you everybody for watching. This was SharePoint Dev Weekly episode 61, and we'll come up with a new episode within a week.
See ya.
Thanks everybody. Yeah. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. Cheers. Bye-bye.